Einen wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin, ich bin der Daniel und heute begrüße ich euch zu einer Interviewfolge. Da sage ich aber vorher jetzt noch ein paar Worte dazu und zwar habe ich mit Emeric Osignac geredet, der ist einer der Indie-Developer bei Honor Code und die arbeiten gerade an einem Spiel, das heißt Narcosis. Der Vollständigkeit halber und auch als Offenlegung kurz der Hinweis, dass der Micha, also unser Podcast-Micha hier, für die deutschen Texte zum Teil mitgemacht hat. Deswegen ist er auch in diesem Interview nicht dabei und wir werden auch für das Spiel auch darauf verzichten, eine wertende Besprechung zu machen. Für ein Interview haben wir uns dann aber trotzdem entschieden, aber damit das alles vollständig offengelegt wird, kurz dieser Hinweis, dass Micha da eben in ein oder anderen Form an dem Spiel beteiligt ist. Er ist da einfach nur Übersetzer gewesen, das heißt, er ist für seine Arbeit, dass er das übersetzt hat, die Texte da vergütet worden, aber er hat sonst keinerlei irgendwie Interesse oder finanzielle Vorteile dadurch, wenn das Spiel jetzt erfolgreich wird oder nicht erfolgreich wird. Also das heißt, wenn das ein Milliardenseller wird, dann hat er deswegen da auch keinen großen Vorteil dadurch. Das nur vorweg, das Interview, vielleicht das auch noch als Hinweis, ist auf Englisch geführt. Emeric ist zwar Franzose, aber mein Französisch ist da leider doch nicht so fließend, dass ich das auf Französisch hätte führen können. Und deswegen sprechen wir jetzt mit Emeric auf Englisch über Narcosis und wie es ist, ein Indie-Studio über mehrere Zeitzonen zu betreiben. Deswegen viel Spaß damit. So, hi there, I'm Daniel and I'm talking to Emeric Osignac right now. I hope my French pronunciation is right.
Hi,
Emeric.
Hi.
Yeah, you're welcome. My French is not as good as your English, so sorry for that. So that's why we have to speak in English. I learned French in school, but obviously I forgot almost everything about it, just a few words I remember. So
it's gonna be better than my German, so.
Right, that's probably it would have been the worst choice to speak in German, so yeah. Let's stick to English because I guess especially in game development English is the language of choosing for everyone because that's basically what everybody speaks, and I guess all the tools and programming and coding languages are in English, so that's probably how people speak English. All right, let's get started, Emeric. Maybe you could start with introducing yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Emeric. I go by the nickname of Canamille online. I'm a programmer. I do game programming since 5 to 6 years now. And with other students from my video game schools, we created a company and started to work on Narcosis, which is an underwater survival horror game that is for PC, console, and VR platforms.
Mm-hmm. So you already mentioned that you already have been working in games programming for 4 or 5 years. So can you name some games or some projects you've been working on before?
Unfortunately not, because it was like a small company in France and was mainly doing advert games and sales games, so nothing that anyone would have heard of.
Okay, all right, no problem. So you already mentioned that you are working on a game called Narcosis, and I'm pretty sure, unfortunately, that not all listeners are familiar with Narcosis, so maybe you can explain. You already mentioned that it's about underwater survival horror, but maybe you can explain a little more what the game is about.
Yeah, sure. Basically, it's gravity underwater. So you're an industrial diver, you're in a big suit, and you're working for some maintenance stuff on a remote underwater base that's doing mining stuff. And one day there's a catastrophe, something is going wrong, and you're left alone and outside of the base in only your suit with minimal tools. And from then on, you have to scramble to get to see what's happened and how you can fix it. And if you can't, try to reach the surface. And that's basically the whole of the experience. You're trying to struggle through nature and trying to get back to where you want.
And will you be playing in first-person perspective?
Oh, yeah. It's first-person. You're in the suit with the helmet and all the info directly in the on the in-game. Mm-hmm. So a bit like Dead Space. You have to walk your way on the seafloor.
Mm-hmm. And now I realize that you said gravity and you meant the movie. So yeah. I mixed it up with Gravity Rush, and I always went, okay, yeah, how is that going together? And how is Gravity Rush underwater? And kind of things. But that was actually a mistake on my end. And now I realize, okay, of course, Gravity the movie. Yeah. So it all makes sense. It's actually Gravity the movie took place on a space station in orbit, and so you're doing the same setting but below water, obviously. Now it makes sense. Sorry for my mistake. And you already said that your company you founded is called Honor Code Inc. Or Incorporated. Yeah. So is this, so just that we get the idea, is this a big studio with lots of people working there, or is it just you and, I don't know, two of your friends?
No, it's not a big studio. We are a small indie team. We are like, the core of the team is six people, and we've been a bit more along the way, but like from 6 to 12 people at max. And so, it's mainly most of us come from the same video game school in France. Mm-hmm. And along the way, we came across several people that joined us and helped us. Mainly two American people that work from California. Mm-hmm. And helped us a lot for all kind of stuff. And part of the team. It's a studio that we all remote. We're all working from home, basically on Skype all day. And
that would have actually been my next question, because I've seen on your website that you call yourself Franco-Californian Game Collective. And so, as you said, you all work from different places, even different time zones. So you said you and a few people work in France, but there's people in California, which is obviously 8 or 9 hours behind France or behind Europe. So how difficult is it to create a game? I know that it's very difficult to create a podcast with three people not working in the same city. That even takes a lot of like talking to each other, a lot of organizing. But I imagine it must be way harder to create a game across different time zones even, because sometimes when you, I don't know, need an answer to a burning question, the other person might just be asleep or even not reachable. So how hard is it to create a game? And is it really a good idea to create a game with not everybody working in the same place?
I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I can definitely say that, yeah, it's hard. Every kind of setup for a studio has its downsides. And here it's harder to see if your message was read or even received. So we have to be extra careful for communication. We are on Skype basically all day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes you have to know an answer, and unfortunately, you'll have to wait at least a couple hours to get it, and that sucks. But on the other hand, the development of the game is going on 24/7, so all night long for me, there's new bugs, and sorry about that. So yeah, it's great in a sense because our QA lead is in California. So whenever I post something, we have I can tell him that hey, I did this and this. Can you run some tests on it and tell me if anything is broken? And when I get up, I have a fresh build and a fresh set of feedback saying search and search is broken, this is okay, and I can go on immediately. So in this sense, it's good. So,
all right, yeah. I get the idea that it's actually quite good for a programming routine to actually have someone working while you are not working on the code, so because yeah, they can look into the problems and questions you have while you take a break or sleep or whatever, and then as soon as you get back on your PC, you already got all your answers and all your problems solved, hopefully.
I guess. It's good for that, but on the other hand, for any kind of design talk or decision, it's harder because every time you have to set up a meeting, you have to coordinate people that are not in the same city, not in the same time zone. So it gets really quickly pretty hard to schedule things.
Mm-hmm. So are there some things like, I don't know, for example, GDC, where you actually meet the guys in California in person, or have you ever met them in person before?
It took really a while to to see each other, but we did a bunch of workshops where we mm-hmm. get all, if not all, most of the team together in the same place to really boost communication and speed things up a bit and like really focus for like a week or two on some part of the game. And yeah, at GDC we try to fly to see them and like work with them as well at the same time. So we didn't go that year, but like last year we went with a bunch of people, and it was really great to have almost everyone in the same place and working on the game and seeing it all come together.
Okay, so let's talk about Narcosis again, because I thought the idea of your studio was way too interesting to just, you know, like skip it in the beginning. So, but the idea is actually talk about the game. So I thought about a game called Soma. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Have you heard of Soma? Okay, so would you say that Narcosis is a game for players who enjoyed Soma? Is it going in the same sort of like creative direction or game idea?
And the setting are a bit similar, but we explore really different themes. For mm-hmm. the player perspective, so I think it can interest both, but it won't be the same experience at all because we are more focusing on like it's more a survival and survivor story than mm-hmm. Soma can be a bit metaphysical with what's going on in the game. Mm-hmm. So I think it can definitely interest most people, and we have on our forums people that are waiting for the game because they loved as well Soma, so definitely cross interest. but the setting and experience won't be the same.
I guess in recent years, we've seen a sort of like a revival of horror games, I would call it. Is that something that is good or bad if you create a horror game? Because obviously there's lots of horror games on the market. So when you go to Steam, you see lots of horror indie games. So the market might be a bit oversaturated. Or is it something that actually is good for you? Because you say, yeah, well, obviously there's a big demand for horror games because everybody's creating them. So great, we're also doing a horror game.
It's kind of both. It's great that there are competition and that sells a wide range of experiences for players. It's interesting for us to like try to see where we're in regards to other titles. Because there's a lot of horror games now. There are a lot of different approaches. Like if you get the Slender games, Slenderman, or Five Nights at Freddy's games, you get a really different vibe from like Soma or the Resident Evil that just came out. So it's really great for players to have a broad range of experiences to choose from. On the other hand, it would be easier for us if the player were having a hard time coming by a game that suits them, because it would be easier to market for them. But it's kind of the whole experience of making games in the end. So,
is Narcosis more? How shall I put it? Is it more of a gameplay game or is it more of a story game? So I hope you understand my question, because I'm not sure if it's even a good question. But obviously there's games where it's about surviving and the story is not important. The story is more of a setting, a general setting. So, and it's more about, I don't know, crafting stuff, collecting stuff, making sure that you survive. So gameplay is the most important thing. And there might be other games where actually it's not hard to get through the game, if you know what I mean. It's just getting the story to the player. So I hope you get my question.
I get it. We've put a great emphasis on story. Mm-hmm. Putting the player in the shoes of the survivor here and what is going through. All along the game, there's a voiceover that retells a bit what's happened in the base, what's happened to the player, and some interesting parts on it. So we really put a lot of thought into the script and the acting. But on the other hand, we try to be to steer away a bit from the what player called working simulators. We definitely wanted for players to have something to do and just not work on the scenic flow. So it's kind of a mix, but we're definitely more on the story side. And although it's a survival horror game, there's no crafting, there's no survival really mechanics, except from you have to manage your oxygen. In this regard, we're closer to the old Resident Evil titles than what's called survival games now.
Why do you think that especially indie developers are so avid to develop horror games? Because I always have the impression it's very hard to do a good horror game, because horror is something that's, I don't know, visual impact, music, story, and it's very hard to do a good horror game which actually doesn't feel cheesy or in you know, like, which is very, it's very thin line between cheesiness and a very good horror game. So why is it, especially the indie developers are actually trying to achieve this very hard thing?
I don't know. Yeah, it's true that it's a delicate mix to reach, because all heavy adventure and text stuff, you really get the feeling right at the end where everything is connected together. Like if you're missing a sound, the scene can feel really lame, and once you get everything in place and synced and etc., then the scene looks good. So yeah, it's really tricky to achieve. But I don't know why it's so popular. I mean, there's reason for some developers is obviously because it's popular and like it's working well with YouTubers and stuff. So there's definitely an appeal for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me rephrase my question. Yeah. Why did you choose to make a horror game?
Okay. So for us, it all came from the story and the setting. We wanted to explore the underwater settings because at the time, like Narcosis was first conceived as our final student project, so like 5 years ago.
Hmm. Ah, okay.
Yeah, and the main drive was to explore the underwater settings. And from that came a lot of ideas, and we stuck with the idea of being like trapped at the bottom of the sea, because it was interesting to have the parallel between the players that like walk on the ground and fishes that can swim freely around him. Mm-hmm. And when we got from that the pressure and claustrophobic feeling was really the next logical step. So it kind of grew from that, and story needs went with that as well. So.
And that's the way you get back to the comparison with Gravity, because I guess space and underwater are the probably most hostile environments for a human being, because obviously you need oxygen to breathe, and both these spaces don't have oxygen, or at least underwater, not in the state where you need it to breathe. So, you already mentioned that you're developing it for PC, so Steam, I guess, and PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. But what about VR? Because I know that especially among horror fans, VR is something that they are very keen about, because they say, well, it's you don't have experienced horror if you haven't played it in a VR.
Yeah. Just to clarify some point, we are not planning a PS4 release yet. We're looking into it, but it's not an active development right now. So.
Ah, okay. Sorry. As on your website, it says, I don't know, probably consoles versions down the road. So that was actually my mistake. sorry about that.
And for VR, like when we started the project, the Oculus didn't exist yet. But we already had like the helmet and all the UI that was in the world. And you actually had to look with your mouse to see your oxygen and stuff. So when the first prototypes came out, one of the engineers in the team grab it and tried to integrate it, and it was really, really impressive, because it was really reinforcing the claustrophobic feeling of the game. Seeing like all the interests around VR and how the technical limitations were actually a good fit for our game. Like, don't want to move the camera, you don't want to move too quickly, and we are already slow because we are underwater. So it made it not extra hard to fit it with the game. And it was really interesting for immersion purposes and for reinforcing things that we wanted in the game. So it was really interesting for us to get along with that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the most important question is, so when will players be able to play it? I know that you already have an early version which is playable, but I'm not sure if that's early access, which everybody can use, or if it's just for testing purposes.
No, yeah, it's not only for play tests for now. So we sold keys to friends, families, and some... people that can give us meaningful feedback. We're polishing and bug fixing for the last rush. So it should be able pretty soon. I don't have a fixed date yet, but expect trailer and announcement really soon for the actual date.
But I guess you're planning to still release in 2007.
Definitely in the coming months. So,
okay. Just another question I just remembered from the top of my head, because you said, we were actually students and this was our final project at university, and then we started to work as an indie studio, because when you speak to German developers or especially indie developers, they always say, oh, it's so hard to to create games in Germany, because there is some funding, but it's not, like very much. So you always get just small amounts of money, which will never be enough to, create a game on. And usually the banks don't lend you money because they say, well, video games, no, that's terrible. That's just people killing each other. We don't want to be associated with that. So how is that in France? Is there federal funding for video game creation? Is there more positive sort of aura towards creating games? So did you get more support from banks, investors or the state?
It's kind of funny because in France we have some help from governments for creating games, but our company is actually located in the US.
Ah, okay.
We created with one of our Californian teammates. So he lives in the Bay Area and was able to present the game here, and we sent as well other people like at GDC to present the game early on, and with that he managed to see a whole lot of people and finally found an investor. So we did not have to get into a heavy discussion with banks and stuff like that. So we are really lucky in that regard. Came with this onset of challenges as well, that's how we managed to get some funding.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess we have to look on your website and or follow your Twitter feed to know when you announce the exact release date. But I'm looking forward to it, to playing it. And I know Michael is as well, because obviously he translated some of it. But I guess he probably already knows how the story is ending, so he might probably not be as looking forward to it as much as I do, but I know he's really interested in
a bunch of stories. So yeah. But yeah, definitely check out our website, narcosis.thegame.com, or on Twitter and Facebook at narcosis.thegame.
We put all this information in the blog post, so the listeners can just click on it and they'll find all the information about the game when they look in the blog post. All right. Thank you very much. Best of luck for the launch in the coming month. And I'm looking forward to play the game.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.